So we know a little bit more about what two of the candidates in Pennsylvania's race for governor think about climate change. But what about the many other candidates on the midterm ballot? To find out about their views on climate change and other environmental issues, Public Source, a news outlet in Pittsburgh, and the Allegheny Front sent them a survey. We emailed 6 questions to each candidate that will appear on the ballot in Allegheny County, including statewide races, and received responses from 19 of them. To talk with me about the results, Oliver Morrison, the environmental reporter at Public Source, is here. Hey, Oliver.
Hi.
So let's just dig into some of these questions. Question number 1 was, do you accept the scientific consensus that human-made emissions are driving climate change? Why or why not? And if yes, are we doing enough to address it? So a couple of the libertarian candidates were skeptical about the science regarding the scope and severity of climate change. And the libertarian candidate who did think it was a pressing problem said, maybe not surprisingly, that private industry should be addressing it. But what about the rest of the field?
The consensus among all the Democrats and the Green Party candidates is that the science is reliable and we should be doing something about it. Especially with the Green Party candidates, they have like a really ambitious agenda. They want to put a lot of money into green energy. They want to limit fossil fuel use. They want to decentralize the grid. So instead of big coal power plants, you have, you know, you or someone in your local community might have a big solar panel or some sort of wind turbine, and that energy could fund the energy in your neighborhood, and this would create this big web of energy that could be the main source of power. They want to tax the fossil fuel industry and are pushing this sort of long proposed severance tax, so doing things like that to address it. A lot of the Democrats also agreed with the science but tended to be a little bit less specific on exactly what they wanted to do to increase action on climate change.
One of the big regional questions is about Shell's ethane cracker plant, which is being built in Beaver County. And the question was, what do you think will be more important for the long-term health of the region, the jobs that will come from the Shell ethane cracker plant or the air and water pollution stemming from its operations, and why? And the candidate for state representative in the 16th, Robert Matzie, he's a Democrat, and he said, I disagree with the premise of the question. I don't think it's an either-or proposition, and that sort of thinking has helped cloud the issue because both are possible. And that seems to be the party line for a lot of the Democrats running, but not all. What were some of the takeaways from this question?
I thought it was interesting in general how from the right and the left, they both often decided to try and evade this idea that there's a trade-off between the environment and industry. And on the right, it was because you know, the industry is already doing what it should be on the environment. And on the left, it was because they thought that there's lots of potential for green jobs and that green jobs are going to make it so that there's not really an environmental trade-off if we just invest in that.
The right
the libertarian candidates, sorry, the more conservative candidates. I think there's a couple things that are interesting about the cracker plant in particular. A lot of the candidates, particularly the mainstream candidates like Senator Bob Casey, are really pushing the jobs. He wanted to really emphasize that he was a person pushing for this and didn't even say anything initially about some of the potential environmental impacts. Among a lot of the other candidates that were really supportive of the jobs, they tend to at least emphasize that it was important to regulate the emissions, that they weren't emitting any pollution that they shouldn't be emitting. I think one of the things you mostly omitted from the people that were in favor of the plant was they didn't really talk about climate change because this plant is also going to increase a lot of greenhouse gases in the area, and they didn't really address that. Whereas about slightly under half of the Democrats were kind of opposed to this and felt like when you added up all of the environmental costs that it wasn't worth it for the 600 regular jobs that you were going to get.
Hmm. And while there was no specific question about fracking within the 6 questions that were asked, many candidates did mention a natural gas severance tax as a way to better fund the state's Department of Environmental Protection.
I think one of the things that's really interesting in terms of who responded, so we didn't get any responses from the Republicans, and in a way I think that really obviously reflects how important in some ways the environment and addressing these environmental issues are to their constituency. On the other hand, I think that what we've seen from the Democrats is that they haven't controlled the Senate or the General Assembly and the governorship, all 3 of them at one time since 1993, and then only for a year. So even among the Democratic candidates, when you look at the specific proposals that they did have, a lot of them tended to be ones that have come up a lot, but there's been no traction. So we hear the severance tax again, and that's something that's come up again and again, but hasn't had any traction. So there wasn't a lot of new ideas about compromises or new ways of bringing forward a proposal that might actually get some traction. So I think a lot of what we get when you're choosing candidates is, well, if we choose the Democrats, we know that these are their values, but we don't necessarily know exactly what we would be getting on the other end, except for maybe the severance tax might come through.
We mentioned Republicans. No Republicans responded to your request. What do you make of that? Did anyone in their offices tell you why they didn't respond? I know you followed up with phone calls.
So I got a couple of emails saying, yeah, we're going to get to this, but then just never did get a response. I mean, part of it is just there are a lot fewer Republican candidates. A lot of these Democrats are running unopposed. But we did have about 15 that we reached out to and didn't hear back from any of them. And when you look at the surveys of the issues that people care most about among large chunks of the population, the environment is always like fourth or fifth or a lot further down the list than first. And that's among the Democrats who are thinking about labor and jobs. And so the one thing that I think is interesting that is a little bit surprising to me is that one of the core constituencies in this election that everyone's paying attention to are this idea of suburban moms, that women in the suburbs are going to be a really important decider in how this election is going to go both nationally and locally. And we do know that a lot of those women really do care about the environment. They care about parks for their kids and pollution and how healthy their children are. Maybe this election will make a difference, and maybe Republican candidates in the future, if those voters come out and vote on the environment, maybe they'll pay more attention. But they didn't respond this time.
And just following up on what you were saying before about the Green Party candidates did have a lot of ideas, but a lot of them were very far to the left of what a lot of Democrats even are comfortable with, Democratic voters or Democratic politicians.
A lot of the emphasis is on really investing money into green energy. And so there's some really specific ways you can do that. And one of the specific ways is increasing the subsidies at the state level. It's currently set to increase sort of slowly the amount of money we give to green energy. And so there's some proposals that you could to just increase that a little bit faster. That's one of the main strategies. And then the other main strategy that a couple candidates brought up was just setting a really big, ambitious target into the future. Like, we're going to have 100% renewable energy by 2050. One of the other things I thought was interesting is we asked them a question about whether or not we should subsidize coal power or nuclear power or green energy, just following up on this. And that's a really big issue locally because there have been proposals by the Trump administration to subsidize coal or subsidize nuclear because there are local coal and nuclear plants that say that they're going to close without this additional subsidy. And one of the things that I thought was really interesting, especially among all these liberal candidates, is very few of them called out coal. And I'm not sure if that's because in this area that there's just a sense that, you know, you don't want to speak badly about an industry that's long held an important place here. But we do know that the elimination of coal and the way that natural gas has outcompeted coal has been one of the biggest boons to improving air quality in the region and lowering climate change emissions. So there was only a few candidates that said, you know, that really made any specific effort towards saying that that's something we should focus on.
So only the Green Party and Libertarian candidates for governor and lieutenant governor responded to these questions. You didn't hear from high-profile candidates like John Fetterman, Jeff Bartos, Tom Wolf, and Scott Wagner.
Yeah, I was a little bit surprised, especially with John Fetterman in sort of our backyard. I thought we might hear from him. I mean, the only thing I can think is he's really been an outspoken proponent of labor unions. He's recently, when they were proposing to strike, he was out in front speaking about that. And when you look at his website, you see him talking a lot about jobs and reinvestment and trying to do things to bring back economic vitality to the area. It doesn't really mention on his website the environment that much. So I guess it's just not an issue that he's focusing on. That's not his priority.
Do you think that the responses that we got are illuminating for voters? Will they change anyone's mind or provide a benchmark to hold politicians accountable after the election?
The biggest advantage, I think, of what I saw from the collection of responses is it's kind of a litmus test of where we are, what are the different ideas that are out there, and what is the variety of opinions? It felt very reflective of the different debates that are going on in the country right now. I think that most of the candidates, perhaps for smart political reasons, sort of didn't nail down specifics that they're going to be held to at the end. They were a little bit more general. But I think in terms of just getting a general sense of all the different issues and where what are the potential positions candidates can hold, it's pretty good for that.
Great. Thank you so much for talking with me.
All right. Thank you.
Oliver Morrison reports about environmental issues for Public Source in Pittsburgh. A complete breakdown of the questions and answers from the Environmental Survey of Political Candidates will be published on October 29th. There's more at AlleghenyFront.org. You're listening to The Allegheny Front. I'm Carol Holzapfel.